When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah, well, life is meaningless. I don't really think much matters in the world, and the number 13 is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is going to be a bad couple weeks for that, for me, and I think you as well, because also when I think of the number 13, I think of one of my favorite professional athletes of all time, Alex Rodriguez, who's probably going to get like 30% of the Hall of Fame vote, despite being the second best player on the ballot, behind Barry Bonds, who's also not going to make it. So that's just an aside, a lot of bad stuff going on with 13, a lot of bad juju. So I think we got to turn it around, and the Sabres should sign Tim Kennedy again.
Not where I thought you were going to go with that one. Of course, we are talking about the Bills as they unfortunately fell to the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Oh my God. In the most depressing of fashion, it was an emotional roller coaster the last 2 minutes of the game. And they had it. 13 seconds was all they needed to do, and they blew it. And I think everybody in Buffalo today is just a bit beside themselves, us included. We had initially planned to record before the game, but that didn't end up working out. And so we ended up recording this on Monday morning, as there was just no way in hell either of us were going to be able to stomach recording an episode of the podcast yesterday. So here we are, Taylor. I mean, how hopeful do you feel?
Not very. I guess I can take solace in the fact that we saw an unbelievable effort from Josh Allen last night. And although being great at quarterback obviously doesn't always correlate with winning the Super Bowl, how many great quarterbacks haven't won the Super Bowl? Really? I mean, at his level. And how, wow. I mean, one of the best to not win a Super Bowl, Jim Kelly, was a Bill. So we should be a little bit careful here. But yeah, Dan Marino obviously is a top five quarterback of all time, didn't win the Super Bowl. Everyone else really, though, besides those guys, won the Super Bowl. I mean, the next best guy that didn't win a Super Bowl is probably Philip Rivers. So, like, and I think Allen is better than him. I watched that game, and it's really taking away from the fact that I'm, like, absurdly upset. It is really incredible that how good both those guys are. I mean, I've kind of joked about it in the past. I really actually think right now Mahomes is playing better than anyone's ever played. That makes sense. And I look at that game last night, and it's like, was there like really anyone in our life who played playoff games like that? Like consistently the way Mahomes and Allen have been playing? I don't know. I mean, The Chiefs have 84 points in two games. The Bills, Allen had 14 incompletions and 9 touchdown passes in two games. So it's just really, it's incredible. Cause I mean, people assume that guys like, Tom Brady just had, he was just throwing 5 touchdowns every playoff game. Not so. Definitely not for Peyton Manning. Our pal Aaron Rodgers, who's good friends with our former co-host. You obviously saw on Saturday night, he didn't throw any touchdowns and lost a brutal 13-10 game where the opposing offense didn't even score a touchdown. It's not that common for guys to just play the way Mahomes and Allen have been playing in the playoffs. So I think we're going to see Super Bowl at some point. I think they'll be back, but you don't get that many opportunities. And to me, you had the Chiefs beat, and the Chiefs are probably the best team left in the playoffs at that point. So I was really, the Bengals at home, God bless Joe Burrow, really fun guy. I think the Bills run him over. And then the Super Bowl, it would be a good game. That the Rams and the 49ers are both very good. 49ers defense is definitely scary to go against, but I think the Bills would have been favored in both of those games. And it hurts all the more knowing that they had this game won. It's
brutal. It was in the bag, man. It was. And that's the thing that's just so tough about this is that the chances don't come around often. And I know we're well positioned with Josh where he's young, but it felt like last night it was just like his destiny to win that game. I mean, the guy was just absolutely lights out. And it's hard for a couple of different reasons. One being having the best player on your defense being available would have been nice. I mean, Trey White being on the field last night at full health, I think would have probably changed some things in that game and would have changed some of the breakdowns that we saw in the secondary that allowed Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to inexplicably get open. But then at the same time, that doesn't really change the fact that the defensive line could not make a goddamn tackle last night to save their life. I mean, they were putting pressure on, but they just could not finish the job. And I mean, I know it's one of Mahomes is like the hallmark. One of his hallmarks is his ability to keep plays alive, similar to Josh Allen, but like, oh my God, just so, so disappointing. And the other thing I think that is, it's really tough about this is that, you know, the thing that I like that they did in the playoffs is that it felt like they really took the reins off of Josh and they were just running him as much as they needed to. And they weren't afraid of him getting hurt. And, you know, that's an asset that they absolutely need to continue to lean into over these next couple of years, but he's not going to be able to play like that forever. And last night, it just, I don't know. It was like, you had that feeling of the, oh, typical, they're going to Bills this, you know, right after Kansas City took the lead. And then he just leads them down the field and throws that touchdown to Davis. And it's like, you have 13 seconds on the clock. And it's like, how can they possibly do this? And inexplicably, and I think it's absolutely fair to say due to poor coaching decisions on the defensive side of the ball and just complete defensive lapse too. I mean, let's be real here. Like Edmonds played terribly last night and we're getting to a point now that we're going to have to kind of decide what the deal is going to be with him. But like, it was theirs for the taking. Performances like the one that Josh put on last night do not come around often. And it makes me sick to my goddamn stomach to think that we wasted it. You know, the New England win was magical. Winning last night would have, I mean, nobody would have denied us a Super Bowl if we would have won last night after both of those playoff performances back to back. And it sucks. Like it really, really sucks. It's going to be great having Trey back next year. We're going to probably be looking at new coordinators on both sides of the ball more likely than not. The OC hire is going to be pivotal for how next year is going to go. And I really hope that they end up getting somebody who's going to be as aggressive as Dable was without some of maybe the mind numbing play calls. But I mean, like the guy was, you know, that's what we needed. We needed that pass first offense and he gave it to him and he helped. He was a big part of why Josh succeeded. You know, obviously we all have our criticisms about some of his play calling, but it's whoever they end up hiring next, it's going to be a massive, massive deal. And I think on top of that, you're going to probably see a good amount of turnover, especially in some of like the skill positions. Like you have Diggs and Davis next year coming back on offense. And I mean, you'll have McKenzie too, but like you're probably looking at, you're going to need to sign like definitely one like impact top two or three receiver. But then on top of that, maybe another guy too for depth. I think it was great that Singletary established himself as an RB1, but you're going to need to add some depth there because, you know, this is a good stretch, but we don't know for sure if this is the guy that we're going to get next year. On top of that, your interior offensive line, you desperately need to make upgrades, even though they looked better down the stretch here. But you absolutely have to address that. And then, I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, like you need cornerback depth, you need linebacker depth, and you need line depth, you know. And let's be real here, Micah Hyde, who know, like he was been amazing, continues to be amazing, but he's not getting any younger. I think his contract is up at the end of next year. And it's worth wondering how much more he's going to have left in the tank too at this point. So a lot of questions right now, but I think the one prevailing thing that I'm at least holding on to is like next year, I think is like they have to do it next year. We can't sit here and say, oh, we have this, you know, 10-year window. And like, we very well may, but like, they are firmly right now in their Super Bowl contender window. And we don't know what the landscape of the league is going to look like a few years from now, even what Josh is going to look like. I mean, he's going to continue to be great, but like, this is the time. Like, they got to do this now. Like, it has to be next year. And Bean needs to come out swinging in this offseason. They can't just say, oh, well, we made it this far and we almost beat the Chiefs, so maybe with a couple of tweaks, you know, that's all we need. They need to hit an absolute grand slam this offseason and leave no shadow of a doubt going into next year that they are unquestionably out for blood and they are going to come out of the AFC.
Yeah, So going back to what you said a little while ago about next year. So Trey, the Bills obviously missed Trey, and a lot of people pointed that out. But I think it's also worth noting how the Bills have had like almost unnatural health these past 2 years, maybe 3 years. The guys just really haven't gotten hurt. So yeah, maybe you have Trey next year, but I think it's unlikely that you'll be healthier going into that game. I mean, who knows who you miss. And then the Bills do have a lot of free agents, especially on the D-line. So I guess they're going to have to make decisions like who do they actually want to keep? Who do they want to pay? I mean, we saw so many guys play the D-line this year. Starr, Harrison Phillips, Vernon Butler, Epineza, Rousseau, Basham, Hughes, Addison.
Shout out to Oliver, too. He played a hell of a game last night and has been
fresh. Yeah, that's big. I mean, Oliver, year three definitely took a big step up, which is good. And yeah, like the defense is good. And I think, yeah, maybe we don't see Edmonds after this. Who knows?
Wouldn't bring him back?
I don't know. That was year four for him. Now I gotta think, does he have a fifth year option that they picked up? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, as far as, I don't know if that's next year or not. Anyway, as far as second contract goes, I don't want him back because you have a select few guys who you can pay. Nature of the salary cap, nature of having a quarterback who's going to make as much money as Allen is going to. So don't pay guys that you shouldn't pay. And that, to me, would be Edmonds, who I think struggles both against the pass and the run. That's tough. That's tough for a linebacker. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a few years ago, I used to listen to this podcast called The Droughtcast. My friends Corey and Ryan did, where they did an episode for every game of the Bills drought, which is insane. It's 270 games, I think. And they were doing this leading up to the 2017 season still. So they weren't like, they didn't think there was an end in sight necessarily. And I remember them talking about the idea that, I mean, maybe the Bills will never make the playoffs, right? And of course, you're always going to have a season like 2017 at some point. You have to make it. Everyone makes the playoffs eventually. The Lions have made the playoffs. Everyone does. The Jaguars were in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago. Everyone makes the playoffs eventually. What never has to happen, especially I'm looking at the Lions, you never have to be what the Bills have been the last 2 years, which is a Super Bowl contender, which is a team that plays very exciting football, plays incredible games, won 12 games this year by double digits. That never has to happen. That kind of brings me back to the Sabres, actually, weirdly.
Yeah.
The Sabres will make the playoffs at some point. Been on the record about that.
You know that for sure?
Yes. Everyone makes the playoffs at some point. I know it's taking an unbelievably long time. And who knows? I mean, like, they could be out in five games. For example, the Devils made the Cup in 2012. It's been 10 years. They've made the playoffs once since then, and it was a five-game loss. Taylor Hall Devils. And it's like, that's not worth the wait. And maybe it'll be like that. Maybe the Sabres making the playoffs will have the energy of losing 10-3 to Blake Bortles. But they will eventually. I think what remains to be seen, and we like some of the things the young Sabres guys are doing. We like what Kevin Adams has done in some ways, and the prospects look good. So they'll be a playoff team eventually. But it never has to be as good as it is with the Bills. I think that's the step that this progression is not linear. For example, I've mentioned them twice already, the Detroit Lions. They have won one playoff game in the past 65 years. That can happen. I mean, it's possible.
Matt Stafford too.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we're not, you know, in our 70s watching the Sabres try to win a playoff series for the first time. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But excuse me there. My point here is I'd rather have last night happen than what's happened for the last decade for the Sabres. It's terrible, and I'm really upset. I'm way more upset than I've been about the Sabres in years. But when it comes down to it, you want to be in it, and you want to be in those games, yeah. And you want the excitement of what we did to the Patriots or the entire season, that knowing you could win the championship. And then it hurts all the more when it doesn't happen, especially when it doesn't happen the way it didn't happen last night. But it's so much better than this just meaningless, like worthless seasons we've had as a Sabres fan. Like this season, interesting in some ways, and maybe some people will look back and be like, oh man, remember Quinn came up and scored? Remember when we saw Paterka and Krebs and Tuck and all those guys for the first time? Maybe. But really, it just feels like we're hanging out doing not a lot of useful stuff, not really interesting or meaningful or memorable games. And that's what being a Bills fan was like for a long time. Those Bills were never exciting. I mean, 2009, great year for me personally. I had a lot of fun. That was the absolute like nadir of the drought for me for the Bills. Dick Duran being brought back for a fourth year, despite being 7-9 for three straight years. Trent Edwards coming back. Terrible. T.O. coming and not even being good. He was T.O. and he wasn't even good. And just watching that offense, Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator, them firing their other offensive coordinator like 3 days before the season. Just, I think it was Turk Schoner. Could be confusing with someone else, but that kind of season is what we've been seeing a lot of with the Sabres. I mean, like I said, there's guys I'm pleasantly surprised by, but like leading scorer, Tage Thompson, it's not what you want. And hopefully we do get out of the Sabres what we've been getting out of the Bills at least one season at some point before I'm 50.
That would be nice. Yeah. You know, in the next 25 years, if we could just taste that again once, that'd be just swell. Well, I guess it's probably okay for us to make that transition now into the Sabres. So a couple of big bits of news that we're going to get into before we wrap up today. The first of which being a dominating 6-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers and Rasmus Ristolainen that saw Peyton Krebs score not only his first goal of his NHL career, but his first multi-goal game, as he had two goals, Tage had two goals, and Jeff Skinner continues his unbelievable turnaround this season with another two-goal performance himself. So you had three guys potting two in that game. I mean, they look great. Michael Hauser again coming up big and getting a win for them, which was really nice to see with him.
The Brick Hauser.
Peyton Krebs finally scoring. You know, we've talked at length here about Krebs and just his ability, what makes his potential so bright, and, you know, what the future may hold for him. Obviously, with him being really the key piece in the Eichel trade, there's a lot weighing on how his career ends up going. And so he, you know, or in the early stages of his career as a Sabre, as we've seen, I mean, of course, in Rochester, he was doing extremely well down there. But he comes up here, you see some of the flashes, but you could tell that the complete game wasn't really there yet. Some, you know, mental lapses that happen with younger players, but either way, you were still at least seeing some of those bright spots, even though it wasn't the complete product wasn't pretty. Finally, in this game, he ends up getting on the score sheet twice, the first of which was a deflection goal that seemed like it was maybe a little bit more of a happy accident more than like a skill play there. But then on a second goal, coming out of the penalty box, gets an incredible breakout pass, scores on a beautiful backhand on the breakaway. And it was really nice to see him finally show some signs of life there and end up getting rewarded, as, you know, he's in the early stages of his NHL career. And so on top of that, we had, as I had said before, Jeff Skinner too, now I believe up to 16 goals. What more could you have asked for than Jeff Skinner scoring 16 goals before the halfway point of the season? I mean, that is remarkable given what we had last year. It's so nice to see him back. You know, and they're buzzing. Like, the top line is looking really, really good. Alex Tuck continues his strong play as well. That top line, really, you know, of Tuck, Thompson, and Skinner has been on one lately. And so that has been extremely exciting to see. So you're starting to see some of the bright spots. It's, you know, at this stage of the game, with where we're at right now, how the season's going, it was definitely a nice win. I mean, Philly is a mess. Their goaltending situation is a mess. So it was good to get a win against a team like that, that, you know, you definitely could have and should have won. So that was great to see. Any takeaways other than what we had just touched on there from the game, Taylor?
You know, I think it's really interesting that the Flyers had a super disappointing season last year, mostly due to Carter Hart not being the guy they thought he was going to be. And obviously he has to get another chance because it's a short pandemic season. He's a young guy. And they're like, all right, who do we bring in to help him out, to back him up in case he has trouble? Martin Jones. Yikes. Why did they do that? That's insane. And so the Sabres scored 4 goals on 8 shots on Jones. The Sabres weren't even dominating. They were cool goals, obviously, but like
they were finishing. Yeah.
Yes. Part of the reason they're finishing is because Martin Jones is terrible. He famously, the Sharks, I wouldn't call it the dynasty, but their era, the Thornton era, ended because he and Aaron Dell were so bad together. The team, despite being still, you know, high scoring team, missed the playoffs because their goaltending was so horrific. So that was interesting. Terrible goaltending there in Philadelphia. It was a good game. It's cool to see the Sabres score 6. That doesn't happen very often. And like you said, Skinner continues to impress and look good. And he looks like he's going to be a 30 goal scorer, which is good. Krebs looked really good. Quinn, unfortunately, is hurt.
Yeah.
Cause he's also looked really good when he's been up. Yeah. And who am I thinking of? Oh, Tage also scored 2 goals. Good for Tage. It was a good effort. And I kind of liked what we saw out of like Samuelson since he's been back. Dude, as well.
Definitely worth bringing that up because I've thought that he is impressed and has looked rock solid back there. And I appreciate too that Granato has been giving him big minutes. I think he led an ice time in that game. It was either that game or the game prior. He had led an ice time. I need to look that up. But yeah, I mean, it looked like he's more than holding his own out there. So very, very, very good to see that. And also, too, Rasmus Dahlin continues to look pretty damn solid and is making some unbelievable eyebrow-raising plays, too. So nice to see him continuing his good stretch here. So it's been... It was good. It was definitely, definitely good. What you want to see, you know, nice little bounce back win for them after they've been on a pretty horrid stretch as of late. So let's look at what we have coming up for the Sabres now. This week, they only play twice. They play on Tuesday against Ottawa. That will be in Ottawa. And then they are going out west to Arizona on Saturday night. Little Sabres after dark action, because then on Sunday following that, they are playing at Colorado, which I'm sure will be a very, very fun and high scoring game, but not for the Sabres. then after that, they have Vegas on the 1st, and then they don't play again until the 10th. So really, they have 4 games over their next 2 weeks. So not too much of a huge load there for the Sabres coming up. Given who they're playing against, that the last 2 games of this 4 game stretch are against the two best teams in the West, just on paper at least. Who knows if Jack Eichel will be back by the time the Sabres end up playing the Golden Knights. I don't think he will by that point yet, but probably I think when they come to town, I believe in March, by that point I think he would be back. But coming out of this, I don't think that there's any reason that you can't walk away from this 4-game stretch 2-2. You absolutely can and should beat both Ottawa and Arizona. And then on the back end of that, I'm not going to hold it against them if they end up losing away to Colorado and Vegas. What are your thoughts on this upcoming stretch for the Sabres and anything that you would like to see from them outside of just like a record, you know, any guys who you're looking to really step up, anything that you're going to be keeping an eye out for over these next couple of games?
Yeah, I would like to see no one else get injured. My main goal. So like I said, Quinn's out, Colin Miller's out, Hannes Stroh's is out. What if no one else got injured this stretch? That'd be nice. I mean, we still may see Craig Anderson, which is unbelievable. That's really cool. But yeah, besides that, it's not an easy stretch. I'd like to beat the Coyotes, if that counts. that should be a win, hopefully. Yeah, besides that, it's just, I don't know. It's tough to expect wins the way things have been going for them. And the goaltending situation is still uncertain at this point. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like
you know, I'd like to see Krebs continue to look good and Samuelson. And I guess Tage and Skinner, I mean, same. But, yeah, it's tough to go back to the Sabres after last night, if I'm being honest.
That is completely, completely understandable. Yeah, I would say for me, you know, we could all say, well, you have Ottawa and you have Arizona, so there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to go 2-2 in that stretch, because who's going to expect them to be Colorado and Vegas? But I probably can more comfortably say I could see them going like 1-3 over this stretch. As far as what I would really be looking for specifically out of any of like the players, I would say Matias Samuelson. I just want to continue to see him get big minutes and be put out in different situations, you know, especially towards the end of the game when it's big learning moments for them. It could be a really important learning moment for a guy like that too, getting to play in those key minutes, because so far he has looked up to the challenge, which has been great. Krebs, yeah, I would love to see more production out of him. I think, you know, as we're now just coming off of this big 2-goal effort, when it was finally, you know, as we've been waiting for him to really, you know, blow the roof off a bit here and see his game come together a bit and look a little bit more complete. You know, I would love to see him pick up a few more points over this next stretch. You know, if he can walk away next 4 games with 3 or 4 points, I think that that'd be excellent. Again, this is probably mostly going to come in a losing effort, so at the very least, as long as we're seeing guys produce, that'll be good. And I'm also really curious to see how this first line continues to gel with each other. Skinner, Tage, and Tuck have, by and large, been the superior line anytime that they're out on the ice, and they've been able to generate offensive chances without giving up too much in their own zone. And it's been great. It's exciting, and I think that getting Tuck back after, you know, he's now played, I believe, about 10 games with the team, 9-10 games. Getting him into the lineup, I think, has allowed them to have a bit more flexibility just in terms of what they can throw out there on offense and in the forward lines. And I think on top of that, too, exciting, we're going to be getting Casey Mittelstadt back, as he's been back skating, too. So I think I'm really interested to see, you know, not only to just have Casey back, but to see the different line combinations that they can do. It seems like they're going to keep this first line together, but for whatever reason, I'd like to see Casey and Tuck together and see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see. Are they just going to run like a Tage, Dylan, Casey down the middle? And, you know, they're really hurt right now and they don't exactly have a whole lot of forward depth, so it doesn't really give you a lot of options there. But I just want to see Casey, which I'm sure that they will, give him big minutes and give him opportunities to play in the top six with some other skill position guys. I don't want to see him rolling around with Anders Bjork and John Hayden on his wing or anything like that. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited to see him back whenever that eventually is. And, yeah, I'm going to go 1-3 over this next stretch here. But even though that may seem like a little bit of a depressing note, let's talk about something really exciting and good that fans have been asking for such a long time. It has finally been confirmed that the Goatheads are coming back. There was a leak that had gone out last week saying that on the NHL's official fan shop, I believe, that next year, the Sabre, a variation of the black Goathead jersey was going to be available, leading people to believe that it was going to be coming back as an alternate jersey. Not even a day later, I believe, or maybe it was just about a day later, less than 24 hours later, Ice Ethics was able to then confirm that the black Goathead jersey will be back as the Sabres' new alternate jersey. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be a one-off thing. Similar to what the Blues do, where they have their powder blues that they wear as their alternate and have been doing that for a few years now. That appears to be the case for what the Sabres are going to do with the black Goathead jersey. Extremely exciting. You know, it's a slam dunk. It's going to be a great moneymaker for them because the merch and the jerseys are going to fly off the shelves. It'll be something that'll get people into the arena too, to want to see the games that they end up wearing it whenever they eventually put out the schedule for next year and their jersey promotion schedule. So all in all, a very good thing. And now at this point, really, we just have to wait and see what the actual jersey is going to look like. There were some slight modifications to the logo to make it a little bit more simplistic than what we had in, you know, the 90s and 2000s. But beyond that, the jersey looked by and large pretty much the same. So I'm curious to see how close that is going to be. But your thoughts on that, Taylor? I mean, what's your, I know it's, you know, kind of hard to be like, yeah, I'm excited when we're about to hit, you know, when we have had a decade's worth of not being in the playoffs, but this is a good thing, right? We can be a little bit excited about this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something the fans really wanted for a while, and even bring it back, something you wear a couple times a year, is, it seems like, you know, you're doing one of the easier slam dunk things to make people happy at a time when Sabres fans are very much not happy and are mostly checked out, it seems like, based on the attendance at the arena. Yeah, it's a good thing. No, I mean, there's a couple other things they could do, obviously, that we think are easy things to make people happy without necessarily getting better on the ice. But yeah, this is a start, and I think it'll be cool. Maybe I'll get one.
Yeah, I think I will.
I haven't gotten a Sabres jersey in quite a while. My most recent one, actually, no, you know what? I blocked this out. I just got an Eichel jersey last year. Oh. I probably should get restitched. Oof. But I don't know who to get. I don't know who to put on it.
Well, you don't need to have anybody.
Just get the Eichel stitching taken off and just have it be no one.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's not the worst thing.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, you'd have to remove the numbers too, but I mean, you could always just wait. Why don't you switch it to Derek Roy?
You know, maybe. And I could go to like Bottoms Up and wear it.
Oh my God. Well, you may be going in with that jersey, but you may be coming out with a couple other things if you're going to be following Derek Roy's trends.
Yeah, maybe some, say, chlamydia. Yes, I was going to say diseases.
Yeah.
So this is very sad. So I'm going to do this very quickly. Let's hear from our friends at DraftKings.
Oh God. No, no.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs.
No, they don't. Nope.
Only four teams left for you to root for you to bet at DraftKings Sportsbook. Folks, if you're going to insist on watching football these last two weekends of the year, my advice is you gamble on it. So you won't be sad about the Bills losing. You'll be sad that you lost money. So DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? You can experience the conference championships with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw cash whenever you want. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, or New York only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, well, that's over.
Disgusting, disgusting. Quickly, going back to the Sabres lines that we were talking about before with the potential of having Mittelstadt back, some interesting lines from Sabres practice today. On the top line, you have Jankowski, for whatever reason, was standing in for Tuck. I don't really necessarily know what that's about, but he isn't skating today. But you have the same top line attack. Casey Mittelstadt centering Peyton Krebs and Anders Bjork. You have Cousins between Asplund and Olofsson, and then a fourth line of Gergensen's, Eakin, and Hayden. So a little bit of a shakeup in that middle six there. Any thoughts on those combinations? Anything that you do differently?
What was the last one again?
Gergensen's, Eakin, and Hayden.
Yeah, no, I would bench Eakin.
It was,
I know there's a million injuries, but.
Yeah, no, I know. No, it was Asplund, Cousins, and Olofsson, and then Krebs, Mittelstadt, and Bjork.
Ugh. It's just tough to, I mean, that's not good, but it's not good because there's so many guys out right now. I mean, yeah. I will say this going forward for the rest of the season, they should be playing Murray when they're healthy again. Play Murray, play Hayden. Eakin shouldn't be in the lineup.
No, it's pointless. It's pointless.
He wasn't terrible to start the year, but he's gotten back, really gotten back around to being just an absolute zero offensively. And I don't get it. He doesn't bring that much on defense to make up for it. So I would be playing him as little as possible, and you know, hopefully having Bjork play in the fourth line.
I'm like over Bjork too. He does nothing for me. I just
let him walk.
Desire, but yeah, exactly. Like at this,
can we get Curtis Lazar back?
Can we
get a receipt on that trade?
Yeah, I would like that. That would be nice. No, I mean, he really. I just have no interest in him being on the team next year at all.
Yeah, same.
At all. I don't know. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, everybody. But at least we will be able to talk about this matchup against Ottawa in our next episode, which will be dropping on Thursday. Taylor, do you have any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, so kind of. I wanted to share a funny humorous thing. So I tweeted it. So you might have saw it on Twitter already. And I got retweeted into NFL Twitter. So it did some decent numbers, but I didn't do anything because I was just screenshotting a post from an Athletic story about Devin Hester. Remember Devin Hester, Brendan?
Oh, yes. I know the tweet you're talking about.
Yeah, so before Super Bowl 42, Devin Hester, for those who don't know, was a rookie in 2006. He is the best returner in NFL history. I don't think there's anyone that's even close. He returned 5 touchdowns his rookie year, and the Bears made the Super Bowl, partly because of him and their defense, and not their quarterback. And so they get to the Super Bowl against the Colts, and Colts are practicing to kick it away from Devin Hester, which a lot of teams ended up doing. And the night before the game, there was like a speech given to the team by some chaplain of some kind about David and Goliath. It's a weird speech. Colts and Bears are pretty evenly matched, I think. So I don't know how David and Goliath really applied there. But Tony Dungy was like, wait, are we treating Devin Hester like Goliath? Should we just go right at him? Should we just kick it to him and set the tone that way? So they did kick it to him, and it was a touchdown. Returned the opening kick for a touchdown, because of course they did. He was, why would you do that? But I basically tweeted it out, and I thought that, first of all, it's always weird when you, someone like me who's, you know, I don't have that many followers, gets like a billion replies, quote tweets, all that stuff for like 3 days. Kind of weird experience. Well, the thing that was kind of bothering me, Brendan, you might have seen me get into this with the people, because I said this is why, if you're ever wondering why Peyton Manning only won one Super Bowl in his prime, this was his best coach. He did shit like this. And people, a lot of people, first of all, a lot of people defending Tony Dungy. I just got to say, not interested, folks. Take it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Second, a lot of people seem to think that Peyton just lost in the playoffs to the Patriots every year. Have you noticed that? I think people have brought this up multiple times.
Incorrect.
Yeah, a bunch of people said that to me. Like, I guess if you're listening to the pod, you maybe remember that way too. Who knows? I mean, I think narratives end up shaping your memory far more than actual events do. But he lost to the Patriots in 03 and 04. That was it. He went 3-2 against them in the playoffs. They played 03, 04, 06. And that was it until he went to Denver. And then they beat him in the AFC Championship in 2013 and 2015. So that was at 3-2 in the playoffs against Brady. Peyton, I can't believe people don't remember this, but it just goes to show memory is a fragile thing. He like basically went on a tour of losing to everyone in the AFC in the playoffs, usually in a deeply stupid game. And there's also a strain of replies that seem to suggest that he was terrible in the playoffs or he choked or whatever. And it's like, it's not that simple. I guess it's easy to just, if you want to simplify things, remember it that way. He choked against the Patriots. It's an easy way to remember someone's career. But there's a specific kind of Peyton playoff loss, I think. And you might remember some of these too. Usually they go like 12-4 or 13-3. Maybe he wins MVP. He won 5 of them. And these are the divisional rounds. And just, he doesn't play bad. And you can't look at his numbers and be like, that's bad. But you watch the game with the distinct feeling that they should be doing more. Maybe there's a key mistake here or there. The defense does something stupid. And all of a sudden, almost the end of the game, they only have 17 points. You're like, not good, but it seems like they could still win. And then something unbelievably stupid would happen and they would lose. Like, for example, I'm basically describing the Raheem Morris game in the 2012 game against the Ravens. So, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to share that. I wish people would remember things more, or at least just not assert things that are not true. Like, he lost so many stupid playoff games to teams they shouldn't have. 03 and 04, the Patriots are better. What are you going to do? He lost to the Jay Fiedler Dolphins. He lost to the Mark Sanchez Jets. He lost 2 games to the Chargers, one of which he threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, and lost to Billy Volek.
Billy.
Yeah. There's just a bunch of games like that.
Unbelievable. Well, we could always count on you for a nice little historical trip down memory lane.
Yeah. One more thing. Tom Brady's dead, so.
Yeah, it's really nice. At least there is some silver lining out of yesterday.
That's why I feel a little bit better than last year, just because it was like, oh no, I'm going to have to watch Tom Brady win another goddamn Super Bowl.
Well, I will.
This time, buddy.
I've always been a Joe Burrow fan, but I will never be a bigger Joe Burrow fan than I will be next week. Undoubtedly, I'm going to be number one Cincinnati Bengal fan, as we all will and should be. We cannot let Jackson Mahomes keep getting away with this.
He can't keep getting away with this. Who do you like in the NFC? I'm kind of fine with both of them, honestly.
I like the Rams, honestly. I love McVay. I've long been a big Matt Stafford guy. And
I love those Lions quarterbacks, obviously, like we talked about yesterday. You're a big Orlovsky guy.
All right, you literally that one you just made up out of thin air, like there is no there's no conceivable way that you and I ever had that conversation about Dan Orlovsky before. I will full on Matt Stafford, yes, like I've been on that train for a very, very long time. But my Lions fandom from back in the day lived and died with Matt Stafford and Megatron. So,
well,
take that for what it's worth.
You didn't say that you liked him as a quarterback or even as an analyst. You said you liked his impression of a dog barking. You ever heard that?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my God. He can bark like an actual dog. It's unbelievable.
It sounds familiar, but it's not ringing any bells right now.
I think Mina Kimes tweeted it out. If anyone out there wants to find it.
She's great.
She was basically like, this is his real talent. And it really is, because he's kind of on TV. He's kind of annoying on Twitter.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not a good quarterback in the NFL. But that guy he can bark. It's almost disturbing.
Yeah, I'll take it with him. My thoughts on Dan Orlovsky, one, barking thing is very interesting, and I'm going to look that up right after we end this. But I feel like when he first kind of made the switch and started to like show up on ESPN and everything – and I saw some stuff on Twitter too, like early on, where he gave like really good insight in breaking down plays. Obviously, him being a former quarterback, he was very good at that. And then I agree. I feel like I don't really know when it happened or anything like that, but he made a turn into the annoying. And yeah, not really can take it or leave it, I guess. But granted, I guess I'll say that like I'll take somebody who's kind of annoying who can at least give some insight rather than like some blockhead who's just gonna talk about nothing like as many NFL analysts do. So I guess I'll give him that, but I mean, I could really take it or leave it with him.
Yeah.
Also, did Tony Romo eat an edible before the game last night?
Oh my God.
Many people are wondering this, folks.
It's never fun to basically ever listen to an announcer when your team is losing the way the Bills lost last night. But I got to say, I'm just going to say it now. I still like Tony Romo.
Oh, I do know too.
The shine is off. People are the honeymoon's over. People are not happy with Tony Romo now. I still like him, and I like him in the way that people were eulogizing Madden a couple weeks ago when he died. I think that's Tony Romo. He has fun. He's clear he loves football. It's clear that basically every game, no matter what, he's having a great time. I think he's actually really good to have around in these big moments. He is getting better at not making weird noises when they show a replay.
I had that problem last night personally.
but yeah, he's I still like him, and
me too.
Yeah, I do agree. I think he was high last night.
He really like there was just some of his like in between commentary between plays where he'd try and say something kind of chummy or like funny. And there was, I mean, you know, when we were watching the game last night, for those of you listening, there was probably a group of 10 of us at my apartment, and constantly we would all just look around and be like, what the fuck did he just say? Like,
yeah.
Weird guy, but I do appreciate how much he does love the game. So I guess, you know, are you insinuating that next year's Madden should be called Romo 23?
Oh, interesting. No, he has to get his own thing.
Fair. Fair enough.
It'd be wild if they just changed the name of Madden the year after he died. It'd be kind of rude.
A little bit, yeah. Not the best way to honor his memory. Maybe he'll be on the cover of 23, actually.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Who's your random Sabres player of the week / recommendation?
My random Sabres player of the week And my recommendation is Joe Burrow. It's all I care about. I don't care about anything else. No offense to the Sabres. I don't care about anything else except for Joe Burrow this week. Keep that man wrapped in bubble wrap. And same can go for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Do not let them just, please, God, Joe Burrow, please. There's no insight for me here. Just please.
This is a good thing, though. So, okay, for this week only, let's do a random former Bengals player of the week. Ooh. I'm going to go with TJ Hushmanzada.
Come on, I would have gone. All right, well, okay, my former Bengals player of the week is Terrell Owens.
Oh, yeah. He was a Bengal that one year.
TBT.
Yeah. I recommend I'm going to watch all the Scream movies this week. Okay. Maybe with some pals. And I'm going to go see the movie for the third time in theaters and try not to think about sports ever again.
That's honestly a good plan. I'm going to do the one thing that people always should do when they need to turn their mood around and watch a really good, happy-go-lucky show like Euphoria that had a new episode come out last night.
It's good. It's a good episode.
Oh, was it? I ended up watching the first part of it, and then I fell asleep probably about like 20 minutes in. So I'm going to watch that. Hopefully that'll turn my spirits around.
Yeah. All right, everyone. See ya.
Yeah, right. Well, we hope that you can somehow find some sense of purpose and meaning in this cruel, cruel world. But if you can't, listen to our next episode coming out on Thursday. We'll be talking about Sabres Senators. So nothing screams turn your mood around like a rousing matchup between two titans of the NHL and the Buffalo Sabres and Ottawa Senators. But in the meantime, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're checking out both of the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites, streaming platforms, social media channels, wherever you're active. Make sure you're checking out both the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're following us on social media, both Straight Up Sabres and both Taylor and myself. And make sure you are using promo code THPN at checkout with DraftKings to take advantage of great deals. Not that there's any football going on this weekend or ever again, but if there were, you can go to DraftKings and use that promo code. Once again, we'll be back with a new episode on Thursday, everybody. We're with you. Hope you all are hanging in there okay. But this has been Straight Up Sabres.